So yeah, that's being homeless in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hawaii is just such a strange place.
No, it's not homeless. People simply say.
Hmm.
I don't have to add up.
That's right.
Oh, this is a holiday ad.
Ooh.
This says holiday. In red. Font.
Which holiday?
Just says holiday. Mm. You don't have to keep your politics out of the studio.
December does quietly cram a lot of holidays into it.
I kind of don't hate it, though.
Yeah.
It's like everything we forgot. Everything that's not really that cool.
All right. So, all right, now.
You know what is cool?
What's that?
The holiday edition of this Simply Safe.
Mm.
You want to make sure nothing comes between you and protecting your family this holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And save hundreds of dollars while you're at it?
Mm-hmm.
You need Simply Safe home security.
Okay.
If a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. If it's 1992 and an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. If it's 1993 and they destroy your keypad or a siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help that you need.
Good, good.
Because they're ready. Here's what I love about this. Maybe it's overkill. Maybe it's the last thing you want to think about this holiday. Someone breaking in to your home, eating your cookies, caning your candies, and drinking your milk. But with Simply Safe, you're always ready for anything. Did I just read that? What's going on here? They believe nothing should get between you and protecting your family. That's why Simply Safe doesn't cost an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. It could.
That easily. And if you don't get Simply Safe, you might lose both arms and both legs.
I remember when they tested out the arm and a leg option. It was not popular.
No.
It was not popular.
No.
But they charge you for what's fair and what's right. And what's right is $14.99 a month. No contracts, no markups, and there's no installation window. So easy, you'll have it up and running in just minutes. I recommend Simply Safe to both people that I know, especially this holiday when you have everything to be thankful for and everything to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that today, you can save $100 on that protection if you go to simplysafe.com/tape. That's simplysafe.com/tape. Make sure to use that URL because that's how they know we, the McMahon and I, sent you. But hurry. This holiday offer is ending soon. simplysafe.com/tape.
And that's S-I-M-P-L-I.
Correct.
Safe spelled correctly.
Because I want to see you guys safe.
That's right. That's right. You know who else kept a team safe for a long period of time?
Mm-hmm.
Our close personal friend Ben Wallace.
He did. Kept an entire arena safe, depending on which side of the desk you're on.
So, shout out our guy Austin, who works for the Grand Rapids Drive, the G League team associated with the Detroit Basketball Pistons.
Mixtape affiliated Grand Rapids Drive,
What if we got next year for their, like, Icon Edition jerseys, just like the mixtape Fruity Pebbles.
Slide that in the door.
Yeah, I think that's the new.
I think Ben would go for that.
I think he would. After this conversation, I mean, so Austin works for the Grand Rapids Drive. He reached out to us and asked if we wanted to have Ben Wallace on. No offense to Austin. What a dumb question. Of course we want to have Ben Wallace.
Say, what day?
Yeah, he's like, hey, I know Ben Wallace. I'd like to get him on the show. What time?
Yeah. And we could have worked it out.
Which we did. Mm-hmm. Ben Wallace is... This interview was too good to run a rest of a program with. We just want Ben Wallace to speak for himself.
Yeah, just soak it in.
Yeah.
Just soak in Benny.
Yeah, because these next 2 weeks we have... an onslaught of shows coming.
Mortgage board.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bits.
Mm-hmm. A buffet of bits.
A buffet
yeah.
of bits. Guys want to hear some of these? No.
Ben was amazing. The first, I'd say like 7 minutes, he was feeling us out.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, do I like these guys? Do I not like these guys?
Well,
we finally got him laughing. And then he really let loose.
Oh, yeah.
He was telling some incredible stories.
Once he started dropping F-bombs, I was like, oh, he's comfy.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's comfy.
Yeah, he's kicking his feet up on the desk.
Yeah. On our bodies, I'd let him. You gonna tell him no?
Yeah, what do you mean let?
He put his feet up on my head. I'm like, yes, sir.
We've been talking about all these animals. Me and you could not take Ben Wallace down. No. Not a chance.
I'm trying to think how many people from this office it would take to take down Ben Wallace.
Listen, we have a lot of people here. We don't have enough people.
Double or triple digits. Like Because it's the people in this office. So not just by, like, you got to imagine, like, Vibs and Mush just trying to take on, just trying to jump Ben Wallace.
Well, we do have a couple troops here.
We do have a couple troops.
So respect to them.
More than fair.
But I would take Ben Wallace about, I would say Ben Wallace equals 5 troops.
Okay.
We only have 3 troops.
Yeah.
It's not enough troops.
Yeah, no, he's just throwing chaps like a ball
at Cons and Kate.
And Sarah, and Kate.
So we talked. I mean, I don't think we asked why he wasn't in the Hall of Fame yet. Respectfully, because we believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. He had a great story about how the Celtics were just the dumbest organization of all time in 1996 and also 1997.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Rick Pitino as well.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Ricky.
Because I did forget that until he brought it up. I do remember I used to, like, I have a lot of gripes with the Celtics from the first half of my life.
Sure.
And that was one of them, that we had Ben Wallace just in our possession. Oh, and we were like, no, thank you. Yeah, we had as much of a new chance as we could get with Rick Pitino there.
A completely different regime, and they were like, nope.
Yep, still don't see it. Still don't see it.
He has to be slapping the floor with his own.
So we talked about that. We talked about the Mouse, the Palace, obviously. You can't have any of those people who are there and not bring that up. That's just kind of how that goes.
He almost got away.
Yeah, no, I was saving it.
I didn't know if we were going to go there, but
had to.
He seemed willing.
Once we had developed a rapport, I knew it was okay to go there.
With that, yeah.
Yeah, no, couldn't leave with that.
All of Detroit's ass.
We had some Rashid talk, his brother.
A lot of Rashid talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And talked about a little modern basketball, talked a little Draymond Green, a whole lot of Charles Oakley talk. So I would say, I mean, we're going to have Ben Wallace on again. That's decided. Well, those details will come out when they come out. Mm-hmm. But I would say we're even closer right now to Rashid. Maybe we just have them both on at the same time.
I think we should.
I think we should have, like, them two and Oakley on all at once.
Come do Area 21 with no boundaries.
Right. Right. I might want Park involved in that. I don't know if anyone else.
Yeah, get them all. Like, bring the little team. We got Kevin Garnett in office.
Right.
We could definitely make that happen.
Area 21's been the fourth floor this whole time. Do we have one more ad or was that it?
Yeah, we got one more.
Okay. Hank just gave me the look like I thought you fucking idiot said you.
Well, they put what I need to close with at the very beginning, which is great.
Pretty good.
Which is great. You know what's not great?
What's that?
You tired of your vape always dying?
Ah!
You losing your extra pause, bro?
Constantly.
That's why you need Kite.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new portable vape charger and a pod case that's compatible with Juul devices.
Okay, okay.
Now, it gives your vape up to 3-4 charges, but that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It also holds up to 3 additional pods. That's
3?
Right. That's right. 1, 2. I shouldn't have started it. Whether you're getting ready for an all-day tailgate or an all-night party.
Typically, yeah.
Yes. Kite will make sure that you're always charged up.
Okay.
Protect your vape, hold on to accessories, and store extra charges with a single case. And Kite's slim profile means it fits right in your pocket. Use promo code BarstoolFan. You're just a fan of the site, and you just like camaraderie.
Yep.
On KiteCharger.com, and enjoy 30% off today. Kite products are not associated with nor sponsored by Juul Labs Incorporated.
No, don't. That rumor needs to stop.
Yeah, no, we're putting that to bed. Today.
Yeah. I hope by 2019, which is weird to say. Some of these years have been made sense. I feel like 2015, I was like, yeah, okay. 2019 doesn't sound like a real year.
Yeah, but I've been waiting to say 2020 for like 2020, I'm salivating.
Oh. That's a strong year.
Salivating for KiteCharger.com. Yep. Yep.
Barstool fan.
Yep.
That's Withers. Twice today as he was yesterday.
Yeah, BJ talk.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like I said, we're only doing the Ben Wallace interview today because that's what he deserves.
You won't be disappointed.
No, you sure won't. And if you are, tell it to Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Do it.
Don't tell it to Charles Oakley.
No, go ahead. Be my guest.
Will hurt your body.
He's like, hey, that episode of Mixtape. He's like, what?
He will hurt your body with his hands. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would not recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Eh, try it. Make sure it's on video. Send it to us.
Send it to us. We'll put it up on the...
everything.
We'll put it up on the account. Put it up on you,
so. Everything.
Even Steven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jews aim to slain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
We're here on the four-time Defensive Player of the Year special edition of Mixtape with one Big Ben Wallace. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
The first thing I have to, really the only thing I want to know, we have a note that you went to China and Rasheed Wallace was, you drug him with you? Or who drug who?
Well, I drug him.
Okay.
You know, I went 2 summers ago and, you know, I came back and told him, you know, what type of amazing time we had over there and told him that, you know, this is an experience that I think he should, you know, should experience. And, so I stayed on him until, I made him commit to it early, and I stayed on him like a cheap jacket.
What was his hesitation with going?
I mean, you got to know Rasheed. Rasheed, one of those guys, it's kind of hard to get him to go to the barbershop.
Wait, Rasheed Wallace? No. I won't buy it, Ben.
So it was one of those things. I took him to China for the first time, you know, between, you know, I started 5 on that championship team. They wanted to know how did I get him, 1, out the country, 2, a haircut, 3, a shave, 4, a suit, 5, and a tie. So,
which was the hardest one to get of those 5?
The suit and tie, by far. The suit and tie.
More than the haircut? He's just really not a fresh, yeah, no. Cut, shaved, even going to China type of guy?
No.
No, he don't believe he need it.
Like, listen, you're 7 foot. I don't want to hear. I'm not gonna care what other people think either.
He makes a good point. Yeah.
In our notes too, you spent Christmas You spent Christmas with Rasheed too. What's a Christmas with Rasheed Wallace like?
Well, when we was playing, you know, we was on the when we was playing with the Pistons, you know, we used to spend Christmas, you know, with Chauncey and his family. You know, he invite the whole team over. And, you know, they cook, you know, we all play board games with the family, the kids, the wives and everybody. And usually New Year's, we spend New Year's at Rasheed's house, you know, pretty much doing the same thing. So, you know, come, you know, playing up with those guys, you know, it made us really close. And that's how we end up becoming brothers, you know, not just on the court, but off the court. So I hashtagged some that, you know, that we was family, we was brother, not just teammate.
Yeah, you guys, that team specifically, it seems like more and more these days it's rare to see a group of guys come together the way you guys did. Like, the only team that comes to mind for me, especially in basketball, would be like the 07-08 Celtics. And even them, they didn't have as sustained a run. What'd you guys make? It was like 7 straight Eastern Conference Finals, something crazy like that?
Yeah, we did 6.
6, okay.
Jesus.
Felt like 7.
Yeah, so just Pistons and LeBron, Eastern Conference for the past 20 years or so.
Right. Right. Now, obviously, known for your defensive prowess, but since you retired, I got a hard-hitting question to ask you. Because when I was growing up, you were always 6'9 Ben Wallace. Now every time I see you on TV, it's like, Ben Wallace 6'2? How tall are you?
6'7.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So a little bit shorter than 6'9", a little bit taller than 6'2".
It's the fro.
Yeah.
You went away from the fro, and I think that's what, I think, bring it back.
Yeah.
Shit, it's all white now.
That'd be a strong look, though.
Something to consider.
Uncle Drew, too, you're in there.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, when they do the Morgan Freeman life story and they need the times when Morgan Freeman won Defensive Player of the Year, you can be the stunt double.
I'll jump right in.
Now, you are a co-owner and the president of the Grand Rapids Drive currently, the Pistons G League team. So, first of all, why do you guys have better jerseys than the current Detroit Pistons? And what made you want to go into this part of basketball? What was so enticing about this?
Well, the Jersey situation, man, we got a great creative group here, man. We put together some great stuff, and you know, we make it happen. You know, Pistons. You know, the Jersey might be nice, but we gotta get more wins on the board for people to really recognize what they got going. Mm. But my decision just to come in with the G League team, man. You know, I was looking for an opportunity to get into the business side of basketball, and you know, I met with Steve Jabbar, and you know, he gave me an interview, and then he called me back for a second interview. He liked the direction that the team was headed, and he liked, you know, what I can bring to the team. And, you know, I was excited to be able to work with a guy like that who's smart and who's enthusiastic about running the team, and who was willing to give a brother opportunity. So, you know, when I came on, you know, it was one of those things where I figured if the G League had been around early in my career, I definitely would have made a stop here. You know, mm-hmm. I had to work my way through the rankings to get to where I was. It's just one of those things. You have an opportunity to work with kids and keep kids' dream alive. And, you know, I traveled from, you know, Alabama to China, putting on camp for kids. You know, it's, you know, taking care of the kids for me has always been a huge thing.
Yeah, one kid you seem to have had a profound impact on was Draymond Green. Talk about, like, you've known him since he was, what, 10 years old?
10 years old.
That's great. Like, what is he the player in the league you watch right now and you're like, that's the kind of role I would try and play today? Or does he remind you most of yourself as like a defender?
Yeah, I mean, I like the game he plays. You know, I like what he brings to the team. You know, I try not to get too caught up into, you know, what role I would play in today's
for
game.
Sure. Mm.
You know, I definitely think he brings a different aspect to the game for the defensive end of the court. Me personally, you know, I really appreciate the fact that he's a leader. You know, go out there. You don't have to score 30, 40 points to be a leader. You got to go out there and, you know, command the respect of your teammates, of your coaches, or the officials, or the fans. You just got to know how to work the court. And I think you do a great job of working all those things.
Do you take credit for that? Like, anytime you see him, you're like, yeah, the whole block a guy at the rim. I taught him that. That was me.
Oh, yeah. Without me, it wouldn't be no fair. But, yeah, I was just with him a couple weeks ago when Golden State came to play the Pistons. You know, I came to the game. You know, he invited me out to dinner. You know, we all sit around and, you know, chit-chatting. You know, of course, I let him know that if it wasn't for my blueprint, you know, he wouldn't know what he was doing on the court. So, all the time.
As you slid him the check, like, yeah. just to make sure.
So my job situation right now is flexible.
Yeah, you haven't been out to the mailbox in a couple days. You didn't know.
You know, I think they forgot my address.
I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you spoke about the G League. I do agree. I think had it been because you didn't have this easy start to your career. What was it? Just simply ending up on the Pistons and they knew how to unlock what you became? Was it just situationally, or did something click inside you that changed you as a player?
For me personally, all I ever asked for, man, I ain't asked for nobody to go out there and do anything for me. All I ever asked for was opportunity. You know, people ask me, when did my career take off? You know, I try to explain to them that I've been playing the same game since seventh grade.
Yeah.
You know, rebound, block a shot, controlling defense, and at the floor, screaming at officials, going at it.
Part of the game.
You know, it's just me as a leader. You know, my mom put me on my career path, and she held me to it. And you know, I owed it to her to stay on it. So when I was playing basketball, you know, I was just trying to be a leader, you know. Because me personally, coming through high school, I was a football player. I thought basketball players were soft.
What changed your mind when you stepped out there?
I found out that football players was a little bit tougher than I thought they were. So, well, you know, I hurt my neck my senior year, and they told me I wasn't going to play college football. So I turned my focus into basketball.
Seemed to have worked out. I call it a wash.
Yeah, I'd say it worked out in the long run.
Yeah, I like the path. So
were there any guys you played against who you respected their toughness, or was everyone soft to you?
I mean, I respect all guys.
Well, for sure, yeah, mm-hmm. But their toughness. Like, all right, I wouldn't want to be, like, thrilled to be within a dark alley.
Well, you know, Shaq is the biggest, you know. Of course, with that size, you can't help but to be tough. You know, KG was a guy that, you know, he was going to play hard on both ends of the floor. And, you know, he was going to talk crazy to you, and he was going to talk crazy to himself.
Yeah. And the popcorn vendors, yeah. The basketball, the net.
Yeah, the hoop. Yeah.
Reefer friends.
And Rashid never stopped talking. He's still talking. But I think one of the toughest guys for me was might have been Tim Duncan. You know, because, you know, he's a tough, you know, he's tough minded, you know, he's a tough player, and he's one of those guys you can never get to. You know, right. You walk up to him, you know, you shoot him a bowl or something, trying to get him riled up, and he'll turn around and apologize to you. Sorry, I was just, I didn't mean to shoot that bowl. And you just get him out of his comfort zone. So it always made the matchup kind of tough.
Was the success, maybe it was just as easy as like just getting out of Orlando. Was it Orlando that wanted you to play shooting guard?
No, that was Boston.
Oh no.
Who was that, yeah. Patino?
No, it was ML Carr and late Dennis Johnson.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I thought of that when you were like, I've been doing this in seventh grade, and they were like, okay, we want to have you do something completely different.
Yeah, we want you out on the wing. We want you stretching the defense.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where I looked at the paper of, you know, all the guy's name that was coming into camp, and clearly by my name it says center / power forward, and they looked at me and looked at my size, my height, and say, ain't nowhere in hell you're gonna play center in this league. You gotta go down there with the guards.
It'll never work, Ben.
Yeah, so I went with the guards and I just bullied all of them. So
who was on that team at the time, do you remember?
Was this 96 or was this after the Bullets?
96.
Oh, boy.
George Mirasan.
So this was like Antoine Walker's rookie year?
Antoine Walker rookie year, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he was probably, was he like at least as big as you?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. They looked at him and the way he played. Right. You know, he was considered a big guard. And, you know, I guess they just assumed because of my height that I should be playing guard.
Yeah.
I'm picturing a backcourt of Ben Wallace and Antoine Walker and the rest of the league just like, nope, no, please, no. Thank
Point Walker and Ben Wallace locking up on the wing. I feel like this could work.
Yeah, I kind of see their vision
in a different
now.
Universe. Yeah. I feel like this could work.
You know, with the shimmy shaking afros.
Yeah, like that. It markets itself, really.
In Boston, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that city would embrace them with open arms.
Oh man,
open arms.
ML Carr, like now you look at like Giannis. You could have been Giannis before Giannis.
You know, I mean, it was crazy because I ended up going to Washington. And our last game of the preseason, you know, we set a couple guys out. We set out Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, George Mirasan, which forced me into being the starting lineup for the last preseason game. And it just so happened to be against Boston.
They're like, who's that guy playing the four? What's going on out there?
Like, Ben, are you lost, baby? Get down toward the wing.
Yeah, so I mean, I ran off like 16 points, 18 rebounds, and like 7 blocks. And every trip down the floor, I ran by the bench, and like I told you.
Well, that infuriates me as a Celtics fan. Obviously, I'm wearing the jersey. You can hear my terrible accent. But we didn't have – like Tony Petit was nice. Mark Blount could do some things on the glass. But pretty much from
Ben
like –
disagrees.
No, I agree. They weren't as good as Ben Wallace. Trust me, I agree.
It's like, but like, no, those guys stink.
But my bigger point was like from when Robert Parrish left till about like when KG brought Kendrick Perkins' inner beast out, we didn't have fucking anyone. So it's pretty infuriating that we wanted one of the best defensive and rebounding centers of all time to just be out on the wing wasting his time.
They had Mutombo. It was like, I don't know, if you could really just learn to handle the ball.
Yeah, you need a three-point shot.
Yeah, we'll put you on the wing.
Matter of fact, I did end up coming back the next year for a workout with Rick Pitino, and he did the exact same thing. So.
Shocking. Wow.
Like, y'all just looking for a practice dummy.
No.
Full court pressing.
Yeah. I mean, I can do the practice hell of it.
Right, yeah.
He wanted me to handle the ball. I rebounded the ball, and I turned around, and everybody was running down the floor. And I looked at Pitino like, yo, where the fuck the guards at?
He's like, that's you, baby. Come on.
Magic Wallace. Yeah.
This is the best to hear because so many bigs always think they're guards, and guards think they're big. And you were just like, I know who I am. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I think that was part of my success, man. I knew who I was. I knew what I was capable of doing on the court. And I just really have a problem with, you know, bigs trying to handle the ball. Like, man, pass that ball to a guard, go down there and smack somebody around. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so someone like Karl-Anthony Towns right now, what, like, he struggles most getting positioned down low, and he's a big boy. So what like, would he be very easy for you to guard? Like, you would just push him right out of the paint?
I'll push everybody out.
Fair.
Yeah.
I was a football player. So when guys try to post me up, you know, I embrace that contact, because as a football player, you got contact on every play. So,
right.
I mean, of course, I'll just knock them off the block. And once they step out on the block, now it's a, you know, the play is in my favor.
What position did you play in football?
DN and tight end.
Okay. I was going to guess defensive line. Yeah. Somewhere on the defensive line.
Bob Parcells had him at strong safety.
Yeah, he was. We need you back, Fred. We need you turning your hips.
I started off at strong safety.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You've had the worst coaches in the world, Ben.
My freshman year in high school, I started at strong safety.
Jesus. Like, where would you be right now if you had one coach who's like, yeah, let's let him do what he's good at? Yeah. Like,
you know what? That's how I became a champion with Rick Carlisle. Mm. You know, Rick Carlisle tried to coach me and to get me to play one style. And Kevin O'Neill, you know, one day in practice, you know, I think he was Rick Carlisle's best man at his wedding. He just pulled Rick to the side and told him, yo, Rick, we got 13 other guys on the floor that you can coach. Just leave Ben the fucking alone. Let him do what he do. So after that, I was like, thank you, and let me go out here and work out.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
He's got another 12 boards. I think we should let him keep doing that. Yes. I don't know.
It's the second quarter. We talked about who was tough, but who was – obviously you won 4 Defensive Player of the Year, so there weren't many people, but who was someone that gave you the most trouble to defend, like, from that era?
I mean, of course, Shaq, you know, being the biggest, you know, always a tough matchup, but, you know, Shaq was real physical in the paint, and, you know, I embraced that physical style of basketball. So, but, you know, guys like Rashid, you know, KG, Tim Duncan, guys who can step off that block, put the ball on the floor, and, you know, can hit that 15 to 18 feet jump shot.
Yeah.
And she being able to step out to the 3-point line, you know, force you to think a little bit more and be more strategic in how you guard them. So, you know, I would say those 3 guys.
All right. Now, the other side of it, who was someone when you saw them on the schedule, you were just licking your chops? You're like, oh, I might set a block record tonight.
Everybody. Took that way every time I stepped on the floor.
He wasn't wrong, yeah.
Yeah, no, he sure wasn't.
Some nights it was going to be guys who was going to come out and they were going to try to compete with me. They were going to try to play my game. But, you know, I based a lot of my game on being in shape, you know, being prepared mentally, and just outworking guys. So when a guy come out there and he feel like he can run up and down the floor with me, I give him like 4 minutes before I wear him down.
Let him think he has a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're not used to playing like this. I do it every night.
Right.
You know, that's how I live. That's how I'm going to fit in. That's how I'm going to make my money. So if they just coming out to try to match my energy, you know, 4 minutes into the game, you know, I hear them standing on the foul line sounding like they snore.
Now, you famously wore a headband around your giant biceps. Was there any reason for that other than to intimidate the fuck out of the
hair? You see the pipes, yeah.
Yeah, the hair might be white these days, but the pipes are still there. What, yeah, but did that serve any purpose other than to be like, yeah, I'm this big, you got nothing for me?
I mean, it was what it was. It was an intimidation factor. You know, people come out and look at my bicep. I see them look me up and down twice, and they look at their arms. You know, I know I'm in pain. So, I mean, it was playing.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
How did it start? Was it just one day you were like, man, oh man, like a regular armband, just not enough of these pythons?
He was just staring in the mirror.
Just, yeah, just flat.
Well, I had my armband on my wrist one time, and I was putting lotion on my arm, and I rolled it up, and it was on my bicep, and I was like, shit, that was kind of fit. So I grabbed another one and put it on the other one, and I was like, it would go Ultimate Warrior style right now.
Patino wanted you to put the shooting sleeve on. Like, no, it'll help with the jumper.
Yeah, you know what the crazy thing about the shooting sleeve is? You know, I wore the long wristband.
Yeah.
You know, I had the no-fly zone on it. And then the league banned it, you know, because they wanted to sell them in the NBA stores. And I was like, I just want my home fans to have them. And then the league banned it. And then they came out with the arm sleeve, you know, And they gave AI credit for that.
Yeah.
They sent me a couple arm sleeves. And I was like, no, I want my wristband back. They said, no, the wristband can't be no more than 5 inches long. So I was like, I don't know what the difference is.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Tell everyone else to get bigger. This isn't my fault.
You know what I mean? That's what. And it looked like, you know, back in the day, those arm pads that football players used to wear.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what it reminded me of. So I was out there playing football.
I mean, fucking Eric Williams was out there looking like a volleyball player. He had, like, the knee pads and the elbow pads. Those, they don't sell those in the store. What are they talking about?
Not yet.
I don't know. I don't know. They put the NBA logo on it. They're going to buy them. Put some G League logos on them.
There you go. There you go.
Get the drive on there.
Yeah. All right. So one very serious question. Why aren't you currently in the NBA Hall of Fame? Politics? Did you piss someone off? Like, because there's no, looking at what you accomplished, there's no explanation for it.
I mean, I'm pretty good at pissing people off, but I don't think this is the case.
Okay.
I just think it's one of those things where our league have yet start to value defense as much as they value offense. Mm-hmm. You know, if my number would have been on the offensive side, you know, I would have been first ballot.
Yeah.
You know, because it's on the defensive side, you know, you can, it's easy to make a case against that because now they saying that the NBA is no defense league. But then they turn around and say, offense sell ticket, defense win championship.
Right.
Right.
So, I say I was pretty valuable to my team and to the league as far as selling tickets and winning championship. So the reason I'm not in the Hall of Fame, only thing I can chalk it up to is politics, and they forgot my address. Or they lost
it. ML Carr had the vision, man. He's like, I want you to get those buckets. That's what's going to get you into that hall.
Well, he might have been right on that, but... I think they should give me just as much credit for stopping a whole lot of buckets, too.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, like, as the analytics, as they keep going, hopefully you and a lot of guys that were undervalued because of that were starting to say, oh, no, actually protecting the rim is a very good thing to have on your team.
Incredibly valuable.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of dudes get, right now, getting, like, $80, $90, $100 million contract because they're Ben Wallace type. You know what I mean? So... I think I left my mark on the league, so they should check that and put me in the Hall of Fame because of that.
My biggest thing with the Hall of Fame is, can you tell the story of that specific sport without that person? I don't know how you could tell the story of basketball without that Pistons team, and specifically, I would argue he was the face of that team. Obviously, Rasheed was like the most flamboyant.
Right. Mr. Big Shot took the shots.
But like Chauncey wasn't talking a lot. Rip Hamilton, he had the mask.
Right.
Tayshaun, I don't think's ever spoken out loud in his entire life.
All right.
So yeah, I mean, Ben Wallace with the fro is what everyone pictures from that team, I think.
Yeah, you can't tell if you're going like from era, you can't tell 2000s basketball without that team.
Right.
Without all those guys.
Right.
Really. So. You got my vote, Ben.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate it. I just wish your vote would count.
Soon. And very soon. We're getting there.
Yeah, no, I'll be back on the board soon. They threw me out for some... we don't like to talk about it. I do have one last Rasheed question. I've heard a lot about Rasheed going to be a coach. Is he going to coach the drive? Not right now. I know you've got a good coach there, but like long term, you think she goes the coaching route?
Eventually, yeah, I definitely think he can make the lead. He was with New York with the Knicks for a minute,
mm-hmm.
like a big man's coach. But, I mean, she's very intelligent when it comes to basketball and stuff like that, man. He's very articulated. You know, he know how to play the game from inside out. And if he can't do nothing else, he know how to piss the officials off to get them swaying his way.
When Kobe and Shaq sat down last year for that interview, they said they should have beaten you guys. How hard did you laugh at that?
I'm still laughing. it's amazing. You know, a lot of people give us a lot of credit, but when they start to talk about how they should have beat us and they should have did this, I mean, what you got to understand about that team is that we were the best defensive team to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't about what you was doing. We made everybody play our style of basketball.
Right.
And the fact that we was going out, and people look at us and say, oh, they ain't have no superstar, no, they ain't have no main threat as a school or whatever. But it didn't matter. Like, we're playing in the same NBA that everybody else is playing in. And we're not allowing you guys to get 70 points.
Right.
Like, I mean, how can you beat a team who held you under 70 points? It's,
the Lakers are still trying to figure it out.
So, but with the Lakers, with that series and that year, you know, everybody gave LeBron a hard time and KD a hard time. The Lakers was the first team that started that super team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they went out and recruited Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and all of that, but
didn't work.
No, definitely. They got to the final. You know, big up to them. They got to the final, but they weren't ready for that 15-footer I was knocking down.
There you go. Saying,
you were money. I remember it well.
Yeah, I probably missed that if you defend me, but if you're just going to let me shoot it, I'm going to knock it down.
There you go, yeah. You're a former guard, after all. Of course you're going to hit that.
You ask ML Carr.
I would love to ask ML Carr.
So you played that way then. What would you guys change if they just took the 04 Pistons, put them in today's NBA?
We wouldn't change a lot for the simple fact that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, or talk about our defense or whatever. But if you don't defend us, you're not going to let Chauncey Billups walk into a warm-up three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to let Rip Hamilton just get the mid-range jumper. You can't just let she catch the ball on the post or walk into a warm-up three.
Right.
It's like the way y'all play now, we still would have been the same team because we had those type of players. You know, if it's a freedom of movement game, who's going to keep me off the boards?
Right.
If you can't touch me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be having like 40 rebounds right now.
And Tayshaun could shoot from, like, you guys had shooters, and Rip could have easily just stepped like 2 feet back and made those threes.
Easy. And Tayshaun was, you know, one of the most versatile players on our team. He could play the one through the five. And who really going to score on us like that? Like right now.
Yeah.
Like, not so good. Well, they're going to foul all those out in the first quarter or whatever.
All right. Well, we can't have a member of this Pistons team in here and not talk about one of the most infamous nights in NBA history, the Malice at the Palace.
Almost got out of here, didn't
I? Almost. It was close. It was right by the hair of your chin. I guess just what was that whole experience? Like, there's no specifics to ask. There's what was going through your mind while that was happening?
Man, you got to go back to the year before when we was in Indiana and we had an altercation with Corliss Williams and Jermaine O'Neal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I stepped in between the two, and Jermaine O'Neal sucker punched me. And I said, okay, well, that's cool. I said, this ain't my fight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We'll play again.
I just want to get my guy out of here, man. We got the win. Let's go. I'll take one on the chin. But I also told him the next time anybody from that team or that organization crossed me, that it was going to be a fight, that I was going to shut this motherfucker down. I wasn't playing, and just so happened Rip and Ron Artest got into altercation, and I told Rip not to get kicked out of the game. You know, let me have it. So I switched off and started going Ron Artest.
That wing, up on the wing.
This is when Patino's coaching came in handy.
So he drove to the basket, and I blocked his shot, and he told the official that it should have been a foul. The official was like, man, y'all up 20, you know, which they were. They was beating us by like 18. Mm. Y'all up 20, man. Just keep playing. This game is about over. And he told the official, don't worry about it. I'm going to get him. And, you know, I'm from Alabama. I'm from the South. Mm. You know, I got seven older brothers. And when somebody in the house say, I'm going to get you, you best believe they're going to get your ass.
Right.
Once he fouled me, people said it wasn't a hard foul. It wasn't about how hard the foul was or whatever. It was about three plays. Before that, right. He said, I'm going to get you. So when you touch me, I think you're trying to get me. And I reacted accordingly.
So it wasn't even about the year before. It was about childhood, just clicking in your brain.
Yeah. I mean, one of my brothers was at the game, So he saw the game getting chippy, and, you know, you always can hear your family when they're mm-hmm. talking to you. You know, and you know, he said a couple words that he knew was going to
rile up. If you don't whoop his ass, I'm going to whoop your ass.
Exactly. You ain't going to make you bring your ass home.
Ah, oh, man. Well, you got anything else?
I do want to ask about your relationship with Charles Oakley. Like, y'all go way back, yes?
Go back like car seats, man.
Like, how did you two link up?
Charles Oakley, who's originally from Alabama, came to his hometown my junior year in high school and had a basketball camp. And my older brother took me to the basketball camp. And I met Charles. Me and Charles had like a one-on-one pickup game.
Jesus Christ.
And yeah, it was.
He took it easy on you, as Charles Oakley normally does, yes?
Yeah, Charles Oakley was being Charles Oakley.
So it was football, basically, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, a good thing I was, you know, football player at the time. I was up for the challenge. And after the camp, you know, he asked me where was I going to school at to play basketball. And I was like, basketball? He was like,
those guys are soft.
Yeah, I was like, nah, I'm a football player. And he was like, oh, okay, well, you should consider basketball. I was like, oh, okay. And he gave me his number. And, you know, I ain't really paying no attention at the time. You know, I'm a football player. You know, I know, you know, you're a famous NBA player, but I'm a football player. I'm going to make it in football. So after my senior year in high school playing basketball, you know, I started to take a liking towards basketball. And I went back to the camp. And again, he asked me where I was going to school. I was like, I have no offers. And you know, he looked at me and saw how I played. It was like, he was surprised. He would say, and he said, I got a friend that coaches a community college in Cleveland, Ohio. He's like, if you like, I can give him a call and, you know, see if he's interested in bringing you up there. And matter of fact, he was one of the coaches my junior year I went to the camp. And he already had saw me play, so he called him up. And he was like, hell yeah, I'll take him right now. And so he got me up to Cuyahoga Community College in Cleveland. So after 2 years there, you know, when I was leaving there, I hit him up again on that same number. He answered. And I was like, I'm trying to get into Virginia Union. He was like, all right, let me call, put in a word for you. So he called the coach at Virginia Union, who also was his coach at Virginia Union.
Okay.
And say, you know, I got this big guy. You need to check him out. And I think he's trying to come to school there. So the coach asked him, can he play? He was like, well, I don't know how good of a player he is, but he's a grown-ass man, so you need to check him out. So coach will tell the story to this day. Say I was the first player he ever signed sight unseen because Charles Oakley
had him up against the wall.
Yeah, would have beat his ass. Yeah.
Had him by his ankles over a balcony. Like,
he said Charles Oakley recommended that I signed you. And he say, and the reason I signed you sight unseen, and I knew you was going to be a hell of a player, he's because Charles Oakley don't like nobody. Oakley think everybody's a bum. Just the fact that he hung your name up, I knew I had to have you. So ever since then, man, we've been close ever since. And I wish I was at that. I wish I was at the guard that night, at them fucking security guard. Man.
I wish you were there, too.
And listen, boy.
I know your hands were, you were ringing in fury.
Yeah.
I was talking and turning in my seat. My wife was like, what is wrong with you? I wish I was there.
Yeah. Well, our office is real close to the garden, so we're going to go play them this audio, and I'm sure they're all going to quit out of terror. That now they've not only pissed off Charles Oakley, but also Ben Wallace.
Yeah. I ain't like to see the big homie being roughed up like that.
No, I think
one guy that was sitting with him wouldn't hold his watch. He wouldn't hold his watch. Like, man, hold my watch. Let me.
Right, I'm trying to get busy. He's like,
well, I think we also just solved your Hall of Fame problem. You just have to have Charles Oakley call them. Because apparently, if Charles Oakley calls anyone, everyone just listens.
Man, I think that's what it is. If you don't listen, he's going to smack the shit out of you.
Charles is a big time smacker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, that's a.
Yeah, that's where Jordan learned it.
It's a dominance move. Oh, yeah. Jordan learned it, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got a couple of people on that smack list.
did he teach you his technique? He was like, no, you got to go backhand.
Yeah, no, he told me coming into the league, he was like, hey, listen, Don't let nobody fuck with you. If you somebody out there talking shit or whatever, whatever, he said, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. He's like, a lot of people want to talk while them cameras are rolling, but they don't really want them problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, I know you. I know your background. You know, say shit, just be you. Like, so that was enough said.
What percentage of guys in the league?
Now he's in the palace. Charles Oakley started. There we go.
We finally get to it.
Yeah, finally got to the bottom years of this. Yeah,
forgot what I was going to say, honestly.
Yeah, our producer wants us to bring up bum-ass Rafe LaFrance. A quote. Was that you or was that Sheed who yelled that?
Sheed.
Do you agree? Because I agree. As a Celtics fan, I agree.
Hey, everybody's bums when it comes to Sheed. He's a disrespectful dude, man.
That's why we love him.
I like Rafe LaFrance. He's a nice guy.
Just a bum.
Yeah, just a bum. Yeah, good guy stinks at basketball. Yeah, that sounds like me.
I just want Area 21 unedited.
What happens on Area 21 that doesn't make the cut?
Man, you don't even want to know.
I do want to know. That's the thing.
Give us a sliver. Just give us a peek behind the curtain.
It's crazy because, you know, we go back in the green room or whatever, and you got Shaq, you know, Chuck, Jet, and you got all of them in there at the same time. And sometimes we forget that we walk off the set with the mics on, and you know, start talking and be like, "Oh shit, I'm still mic'd up." You know, but, I mean, that's a free spirit show, man. You know, I love it. You know, I love being on there because they give you the freedom to be yourself. You know, ain't no scripts. It's just all of it, just raw, uncut.
Yeah, I always said it needed to be on I love the TNT show. I love Area 21, but I feel like Area 21, you should have to change the channel to like HBO so you can get all of it. You know what I mean?
TNT Premium or something like that. Yeah.
It's late enough at night. The kids are in bed.
They say anything after like 11 p.m. Right. Like after that, yeah. I think they should let y'all work unedited. Blue, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then the truth come out. You know, you don't play against these guys. You competed against these guys. And, you know, once you walk off the floor, you know, for some reason, people think that we can't sit out amongst each other and you know, have break bread or have a drink or something. Mm. You know, people think that we're supposed to be sworn enemies for life, but we are such a small fraternity.
Right.
You know,
right.
So when we come together, you know, the shit is real, it's uncut. You know, guys can tell you a story about you when they was playing against you versus how you saw it when you was playing against them. You know, it just makes for exciting TV, man.
Like, Ben, remember you was whooping my ass? He was like, yeah, I do.
Which time?
Yeah, what?
Man, you find out, some guys be like, man, you know, I used to fucking hate you. I used to hate when they used to ring that fucking bell in the paddles. You know, I'd be like, I used to love that bell, man. That's
all right, my last question. When the Detroit announcer in the building used to yell Detroit basketball, how amped up did that, like, matter at all, or did it really get you guys going?
Oh, no, it really got us going. It really You know, the crazy thing about it when we played the Lakers and when I was on the Area 21, you know, that was one of the things that Shaq brought up. And he was like, man, I hated that bell. I hated that Afro. He said, I hated that damn announcer, Holly D. He's like, I heard that all summer everywhere I went. He was like, man, I hated that. But it really got us going, man, because the crowd got so hyped. And, you know, we fed off that energy.
Yeah, and that crowd would fight. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Good bit of them did. Good bit of them did.
I should be in the Hall of Fame for the simple fact that, you know, a lot of people say they fans came out and they cheered for them and they went the extra mile and they'll do this and they'll do that. You know, my fans actually still never fought for me. So
literally.
Literally.
You know,
like,
you know, I told them we were going to shut it down and we shut it down.
Listen, we will still fight for you to get into the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
You say when and where.
Correct.
And we're there.
Me, you, Oakley, yeah. Tyler. Yeah, we got this easy.
Come on, let's go then. Let's take off. Man.
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
Ben Wallace.
I'm just dropping the ball right now.
Ben Wallace, Grand Rapids Drive, soon to be Hall of Fame inductee. We really appreciate your time today. Happy holidays, sir. And thank you.
Welcome, man. I want to see y'all come out to one of these drive games, man. Support our kids, man. We got a young, amazing, exciting team. And, you know, it's all about keeping dreams alive. You know, I had a chance to be fortunate enough to play on that NBA level. And I see that these are the kids' goal, man. I want to, you know, help them try to get there. I think, you know, everybody in the G League should have that experience once to step out on that hardwood NBA floor because it's an amazing feeling.
Listen, anytime you want us out there, we're out there.
Say when.
Just say the word.
Okay, cool. Maybe y'all come out there and do a show from there, too.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Of course.
Perfect.
That right. guy.
I know the owner, so y'all live.
We're in there. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Of course. Have a great day.
Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Gigi Gatos. Gigi, Gigi Gatos. Gigi, Gigi, Gigi Gatos. Gigi Claws, it's taco time. 'Twas the night before Christmas, I'm sleigh riding. Got that gap beside me, so don't try me. Tiny Tim was 2K, he was good all year. His mama got a bet he can see her taco from the rear. Mrs. Claus gon' be okay, she won't shed a tear. She know Gigi like to play, I've been good all year. Getting no Z of the loud for an Xbox One. Take a pull, this shit, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Drop off the sack, it's Asa Luego. Taco time, you call me Pedro. Isabella, she call it the Yako. Get off her shit, it's okay though. Gigi, 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 bad bitch on my lap, telling me her Christmas list. She gon' get everything she wants, hope she wants this dick. Order 40s by the crate, call me Nucky North Pole. Jordan Force on the boardwalk, Mikey Sorrentino. Drop off these presents, then it's taco time. Throw a bitch out for the glass, reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Throw a bitch out the glass and duck my balls in a taco, man. It's taco time. It's taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes yeah. once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.
We on a building, but y'all act like you don't know. It's Gigi Claus and Young Rudolph Ho. And we for the kids, but we love these new thoughts more. I seen Gigi reverse 362 tacos at the same time. Dang, that's hang time. If your dame fine, he'll grab the reins, make me change flight and take a straight line to your girl house, unwrapping your girl blouse, and do mic and drills all night inside your girl mouth. Flying around the world of you from the top of 7. Gigi break a mouth. I'll take a sloppy second. I ain't a choosy deer. Show me them boobies, dear. Quit frontin', I know which list had you this year. Waited all evening. Taco so good it don't even need seasoning. And once the sun is down, the chimney ain't the only thing we coming down. Yo, fupa gon' be my chalupa. Stuff my balls in your taco, say booyah, booyah. I once saw Gigi snatch a 6'4" dude with a beard's hoe. Toss her off the backboard, dunks this guy's hoe on him. Shatters the backboard, pieces of glass go everywhere, it's in the taco. Very dangerous situation, supremely disrespectful. I come through on the baseline, 720, whole arm in the taco like Vince Carter, I'm just hanging there. People like,
is it the shoes?
Nah, bitch, is it the hooves? Reindeers don't wear shoes,
Gigi Claus,
idiot.
Got them hoes. Fuck, nigga, you know. Why you standing under mistletoe? With a bitch built like a pot roast. Said your bitch built like a pot roast. Tongue all in a throat. Damn, that's a big hoe. Goddamn, nigga, that's a big hoe.
Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.